that produces also something. So
no,
something
for sure. I think
that is
super interesting that you mentioned that there is like very like probably deliberately not like showing the images of like the political propaganda that was like ubiquitous in Cuba. And to some degree, like the fact that for sure, like the way that they speak, like the way they speak in Spanish is very specific. The way that the expressions that they use, it's like very specific, and they are a product of an educational system that is, you know, like I was saying, the way in which they are enacting the kind of the fierceness or the redempted position that they are enacting in their rebelliousness, it somehow like parallels the kind of like stubborn way in which the Cuban government was also enforcing their like kind of extra confirmation after the fall of the Soviet Union. There's actually something that, because Vladimir, for what I understand, was a pretty bright guy. I mean, bright enough not to like inject himself with HIV, I think, to some degree. And he made the documentary, he went outside, he actually went into the States, and he's been living there since then. Not that I'm not saying that it's better or not, but he was saying afterwards that something that was like really shocking to him after like seeing the film, and it was the fact that like their indoctrination was so thorough that there was a lack of imagination in order to formulate the possibility of an outside.
Voilà.
That so the kind of like the tightness of the joke was so intense that it was only like these guys, it was like he managed to think like these guys, something else and suicide, the only things that we could do, and that's exactly what these people did, and that was kind of like the glass ceiling that they could meet. Because even when they were talking about like, oh, will you go to the United States? Then I'm like, they were like, we don't have money for that because you need money in order to get to actually flood out of the island. And then to some point, they also were like talking like, you cannot enter the United States if you're HIV positive. To this day, they test you.
But I want to add something. Okay, it's not suicide. It's horrible. I went, you know, all my friends died of AIDS. It's horrible. It's just horrible. And really, what this film is so terrible to me is that it didn't give any kind of possibility, the alternative erased any kind of possibility of an anti-AIDS movement, which would be a political movement, which would try to assess the state politically for what he had done, and to assess the body for what it could be, you know. So what really revolts me in that film, I have to say, is that there is no alternative, and that there is no possibility of politics.
Because, I mean, this is not a criticism of the film, which incredibly disturbing. I'm going to choose this word. But it's interesting that you were talking about the religious music, and it's interesting also what you said about the editing, that it was done later on in the US. The effect that the film produces, it's a film about martyrdom. It's
yes.
a film about male martyrdom. You know, in slow motion, with this music, which tends to, well, dramatize. This is horrible, I don't even know, but to really reinforce
totally.
This. And, you know, the male body at the end, which is like a Saint Sebastian with the American flag. So this is not a criticism of the film, it's just this effect of what you're saying. It's not about politics, it's really about, again, a sort of religious reading almost of this thing, like, a generation that sacrificed, that had to sacrifice
yeah.
itself in order to keep on resisting. And this is also really striking. I mean, you also mentioned, you know, the presence of the crosses, of the Catholic elements, which inside the Cuban context are actually a way, again, of being against something, which I understand. But seeing this from another perspective, it's also like, It's the récit of martyrdom, I'm sorry.
No.
So it's not about politics, I totally agree with you. And this is what's so sad about all this. Because it's just a reaction.
No, but like the fact that like the formulation of politics that they can arrive was like being proper. You know what I mean? But
You know, making politics is making associations, is trying to associate, you know, the condition of your body to the forces that actually discipline your body, to the medical, to the medical situation, to a political situation, to administrative. I mean, that's what politics, AIDS politics did. And here, it is just about, I'm totally agreeing with you, it's being a victim.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
About being male, a male victim.
And because the female victim is definitely like subsumed to the male position as this sort of like kind of like martyr for sure. I had to add as a side note that there was a woman, Maria, I forget her last name, something with a G, and she was a big rocker organizer. She had a space in La Habana, it was called Patio de Maria, Maria's Courtyard. And she, there was a place where people could gather and people had concerts, so there was a place where these people could also organize themselves beyond just like hanging out. And there she started like, when like this kind of became a real, like a very real like social problem in a self-organized way. And there's very little information about this. They started organizing more information about HIV, distributing preservatives and like basically like talking people about not sharing needles and like talking like basically like kind of like giving more information about like you should like you at least should know what you are doing, because also something that is very obvious about this is that they were like 19 years old with no like with no, like with a lot of like energy in a way somehow, and that we're not. It also was a moment in the HIV crisis that also because of the invisibility with which it was treated in the United States, in Cuba, with people being put in sanatoria, the people did not know what they were signing up for either. You know, like they were just saying that they were like going someplace that was much better, and then they had like horrific deaths. But totally the fact that there was, somehow like gives you know, like also, and I mean, I don't know really how to interpret this, and I don't want to make like kind of like ramped down judgments, but the strength of like the kind of political repression that goes to a space where like that's the kind of limited nature of the way in which some kind of work, the organization of some kind of resistance can take shape.
You know, I mean, politics change, I think, at least in France, what I've tried to study, when the whole link between homosexuality and death was broken by a number of groups which said, no.
Just a simple question that might make it easier to understand the context in Cuba at the time. Do you know what the access to the medication in those sanatoriums were? Were there anti-HIV drugs available?
Yeah, they had. I mean, in 91, nobody has HIV drugs available, but Cuba had a pretty top of the line, like medical research at the time, despite the fact that the conditions in other aspects of like daily life were pretty shitty. And so people started going on like a retroviral cocktail, I think in like as soon as it came out in the United States, basically. So like they were medicated, they had fairly good conditions in these places.
96.
Which is also
I think it's important to understand in this context to make some form of, not necessarily a judgment, but to understand the situation. But one other question I would just briefly...
But it's 96, it's after the film, huh?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Multiple therapy cocktails appeared in 96
yeah.
to the, you know, the first early things.
Exactly, that's right.
Okay, so it's after the film.
And just another question, because one of the interesting things, as critical as we may be of that last image in the film, is that... This was a question in relation to what's just being said. Is that it's a sexualized body, it's a very erotic image, and any, without wanting to be polemical about it, any eroticization of the male body becomes a feminized body, right? And it is a feminized body in that context, but as such, what would that mean then for a female opposition to that male martyrdom that you see in the film? Sorry, you're about to...
It's speculation. I was just struck by this. I was very struck actually by one of the. There are two female characters in the film. One is a, you know, she says she doesn't want to die because of her child, and the other one is actually at first. Well, she says she doesn't care. And she says I care, but she doesn't. You feel she doesn't care. So there are really two very different ways of thinking about being female,
yeah.
I think. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer to you. This is just what I felt. I felt it was a film that, and again, this is not a criticism of the film. I felt that the editing, the use of slow motion, the use of the Bach music, and really the slow motion at the end with this character that is, you know,
the ending is insane with the water and
yes,
like this
drag. Yes, but it's so, I'm sorry, this is so imbued with religious iconography, and I'm saying this because I come from a Catholic country, and so it really strikes me as something very evident, and to me, he was like Saint Sebastian. I'm not too sure what a female, I mean, again,
yeah.
What is female? There are so many females and males.
No.
So.
No,
and then it speaks to a tradition of like also like religious sculpture, like kind of like religious iconography.
Yes,
I think that it really has this kind of like
mm-hmm.
like this like broken male body that is the martyr, totally.
No,
but
there's desire.
Body.
No,
oh,
but
there's like plenty of martyrs that were like all fucked up in the church, like mm-hmm. Mar, you know, like it's San Sebastian, but it's like San Lorenzo, and like I mean, you name it. Like Christ, Jesus Christ is like Baroque Spanish sculpture from the 17th century.
Suddenly there is a kind of surrender to a kind of possibility of desire, I think, which is also linked, you know, making an ending with that.
Yeah.
So kind of making a twist and a kind of ending, surrendering to a possibility of, you know, seeing the film back and having some kind of desiring gaze, you know, involved within the film. I mean, addressing this question, you know, by very strained and thing at the end.
Look at how desire mobilizes.
Yeah.
Mobilizes like the political agent of the virus throughout their like relationships.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
And it's one more time one of the situations where it's a very ambiguous situation. So it is a religious image. It is a male martyr. I'm quite agree with Teresa. And at the same time, it's a moment where something that transcends is popping up. And maybe in that, because you're claiming for a political movement. I was just like wondering what would be at a point where self-infecting you with HIV is a gesture of resistance. What would it mean to resist to HIV in that context? So it becomes so, how at the moment when you say the only way to be truthful to these principles is to choose this way, how could you resist it? So where would be the possibility even for the imagination of a political anti for an AIDS movement in that point? You know, it's so there's something that is so inescapable in the configuration of the political situation.
No, but I blame it on the state.
Yeah.
I blame it on the state. I think that indeed by positing...
Well, acceptable. And I don't, you know, I'm not...
Blaming on the state is such a good mot de la fin, no? Thank you so much for having me.